Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. Last week, Amy and I had a conversation about rec league sports and how things used to be when I was a kid. You would play at Park District.
CYC.
Yeah, baseball or soccer or whatever, and then you would play something else in a different part of the year. Now, things have become so specialized where kids are playing one sport, they're playing all year, and they're playing for teams that can cut them or not. It's not like, let's just go play the game. Let's do all of it. Somebody who wants to change the way we do things, Jonathan Carone, who is the host of the Healthy Sports Parents podcast, How to Make Youth Sports Fun and Rewarding for Your Kids. He joins us now on KMOX. Jonathan, thank you for giving us the time today. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
So there's a clip of you on Instagram that's been...
That thing has blown up.
It has. It really has. So tell us, without us just having to play it, tell us what you said in that and what you think we're doing wrong.
So essentially, I said that the death of rec league sports is going to be one of the biggest downsides of what we're doing to our kids. And the general idea is that we have too many kids being forced into competitive environments too early by their parents. And what we are learning on the sports side of it is that most kids under the age of 9 just want to have fun. And they just want to play with their friends. They want to go get a piece of pizza and some ice cream afterwards. And it's more often than not the parents who think their kids are good that are going to these specialized elite teams and basically forcing their kids into competition before the kid wants to. And the long-term drawback of that is it leads to burnout with about 70% of kids quitting their sport by the time they get to 13.
That's crazy. I saw this firsthand with my little brother, and this was years ago, and it's worse now. But he had a kid on his team who was 10 years old and burned out, quit baseball after the season because he had been on these select teams and had played 80 games over the course of a summer. And I'm like, if a 10-year-old's burning out because he was missing birthday parties, he couldn't go to the pool with his friends on the weekend because he was always in tournaments. It takes a lot to really burn out a kid who just wants to have fun.
And travel sports are not inherently bad. It's like with any poison, the toxicity is in the dose. And if a kid wants to compete, if a kid wants to get better, then we should, as parents, help facilitate that, but in healthy ways, not 80 games in a summer, not year round with no breaks. I mean, there are physical therapists that I've got coming on the show later in the season that are talking about, they've got kids that are coming in who, like one example they use, the kid plays hockey 49 weeks a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude.
As like a 12-year-old. So he already has back issues. Hockey is not bad. Yeah. Competing is not bad. Playing hockey 49 weeks of the year is bad.
Yeah, and I'll just follow up, Jonathan. We have great hospitals here in St. Louis. We've talked to a couple of doctors who said for the first time in what they can remember, right, in history, they are seeing a generation of kids, 10, 11, and 12 years old, coming in with overuse injuries.
Yes.
Overuse injuries at 12.
So I have an episode coming up in April, two episodes in April coming up. One's with a strength trainer. One is with a couple physical therapists. And they talk about that kids are, what's happening is our kids are practicing their sport, whether it is in just a team practice or an individual sports training, like private training, and they're playing games. But what they're not doing is strength and agility training. So let's say a volleyball player, she's lifting her arm over her head thousands of times a week, hitting a ball, but she's not training the strength and stability of her shoulder at all. And she is not resting. So eventually, even if kids are more limber than we are, eventually those joints and those muscles are going to get too tired to be able to support themselves. So what the specialists are telling us is that kids need to cut back on their sport-specific training and actually add in some strength, resistance, and performance training so that their bodies can handle the sports that they're playing.
Jonathan Caron is with us. You can find his podcast, Healthy Sports Parents, on the website healthysportsparents.com. And the argument you were making in that the first video I saw of you, the first clip I saw of you, I believe you were making, is that maybe we've overcorrected a little bit because we went through this participation trophy and the pushback against that. And, you know, a kid should learn that losing is okay. And we've sort of gone way too far in the other direction where everything now is your kid having to try out at like 7 or 8 years old, as opposed to just getting to play.
And, or being told they're not good enough at that age.
Right. And so, I mean, I think it shouldn't, it should go without saying why that's a bad thing, but why do you think it is a bad thing?
The thing I go back to, let's set aside the emotional self-confidence issues that we're creating and look at just the body development of kids. The best kids at 7 and 8 are rarely ever the best kids at 17 and 18 because of a thing called puberty. Puberty is the ultimate equalizer when it comes to sports because our bodies change in different ways. So until we reach a physical level after puberty, the kid who is the most developed at 7 years old is going to be the best athlete. The team with I coach 8 and 9 year old soccer. The team that has the 5'3", 115-pound 8-year-old is going to beat the team that has the 4'2", 70-pound 8-year-old. Just because their bodies have developed early. And so if we're telling kids at 7 and 8 years old that they're not good enough, we're not even giving them a chance to, one, learn to love the game or learn to love being active before we're telling them, hey, you're not good enough yet, but you're not going to get any opportunity to get better either. So it's leading to all sorts of self-doubt, all sorts of anxiety. There's a new study that came out that said that 1 in 4 teens are at risk for a severe anxiety issue. And that's just teens in general, not just athletes. But we are seeing a rise in anxiety in high school athletes as well. So much of it can be traced back to at 8 years old, we're telling a kid he might be cut from his team by next week if he doesn't make the play.
You know, it's so funny. I had a good friend who was 5'6", 5'6" in sixth grade. And he was the best basketball player on the team because he was the tallest guy. He never grew an inch after that. He's still 5'6".
I've been 6 foot since I was 13 years old.
Yeah, this guy's 48. He's still 5'6". So he obviously was not going to be the star basketball player in college. And that's such a good point, too, because, as you mentioned, puberty is the great equalizer. But I also feel that even after puberty, when you're a teenager, and now this is a personal conviction, and I had a friend who had this personal conviction that they disagreed with holiday tournaments, like missing Mother's Day or missing Thanksgiving with family or missing Easter because they had holiday tournaments. And they had a lot of pressure because their kids were good athletes. They had a lot of pressure to play in these holiday tournaments. And they said, no, we don't do that as a family. And her daughter still made it to the number one college team in the country in field hockey. And because her daughter was good and she worked hard and her life wasn't made or broken by missing Thanksgiving or Mother's Day.
And can we be honest with the dirty little secret that I'm willing to bet she had some good genetics?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't mean to be rude to my kids, but they're not going to be college athletes. I know the DNA they got. They right. come from me and my wife. We are not the high athletic, high athlete, fast twitch muscles. Like, that's not us. Our kids could be good varsity athletes and they could work hard and they could learn to love their sports. But if they make it that far, great. But we are not banking on the idea that, I mean, already only 6% of high school athletes go on to play college sports. 2% of that is Division I. So if 70% of kids quit by the time they're 13 and only 2% of the kids still playing go Division I, why are we setting ourselves up with these unrealistic expectations when the kids are 7 and 8?
So, Jonathan, what advice would you give to parents? Because as you say, a lot of parents are the reason these kids are doing this, where they got to play travel ball and they're doing it from such a young age. And, you know, they don't just play park district sports, you know, learn the game, have a little bit of fun, play with your friends, that sort of thing. Would you, I don't know how you make parents not want to do all of that. But then again, there are a lot of parents who probably deep down don't want to do all of that because it's a lot of time, it's a lot of money, and maybe they just don't have the funds or energy for it, but they feel obligated to.
So the first thing I would say is to take a breath. Your kid's not going to fall behind. I know that there are coaches and there are programs that are telling you if you don't get in this program by the time you're seven, your kid's never going to play varsity at school. They're seven. We shouldn't be worrying about varsity sports at 7 years old. So take a breath. Your kid's not going to fall behind. And then realize if your kid doesn't love the game, if they are not intrinsically motivated to work harder, there is no reason to force that yet. Almost every high-level athlete you ever talk to will tell you that they were the ones that pushed themselves. It was not mom and dad pushing them. So even if you want your kid to develop into a high-level athlete, that desire has to come from within. So what we have to do as parents is foster a love for activity, for competition, for hard work, and for love of the game. And that those four things can get killed if we go too competitive too early. So the advice I give all the parents, after you take a breath, let your kid lead. Give them the space and the permission to lead this journey because it's their journey, not ours. If they're going outside and playing basketball all the time in the driveway and constantly wanting to get better, then maybe some lessons or some tougher teams might be in their future. But if you're having to force them outside to play, if you're having to convince them to go to practice instead of something else, they're not ready for higher levels of competition yet, and we're doing them a disservice if we force that on them. So let them play and learn to love it, and then we can go competitive later because they're going to catch up.
Jonathan, I know there's not enough time for this because I know we got to let you go as well, but have you addressed this on your podcast? And maybe we can have you on again to talk about it. But what about these select clubs like soccer clubs and hockey clubs, at least here in St. Louis, can get super political and frustrating? I don't know if they get that way, you know, everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Okay. How do you handle that? Especially if perhaps a kid does work hard and is better, but doesn't make the team because you're not the parents that the team wants on the team and so forth. It gets kind of ugly.
So a couple things. The first thing I tell people is that unhealthy adults ruin everything. and we see that across the board in pretty much every facet of life. But unhealthy adults ruin things for everyone else. But then it's having honest conversation with kids because sports are just a segment into life. And unfortunately, there will be times in our life where we don't get something that we might deserve because someone else did something that was pretty crappy or they were unhealthy, whether it's a job promotion, whether it's something else. So allowing kids to experience that failure and that heartbreak in a safe environment of youth sports, while it feels like the heaviest thing in the world at the time, allowing them to feel that they're under your care will protect them and allow them to learn how to deal with their emotions for when it happens and you're not there to protect them. So while you can't fix it, we can walk with them through those hard times and help them understand their emotions, understand how to process them, because that's not going to be the only time they ever experience someone making a decision that inadvertently hurts them.
Before we let you go, Jonathan, do you have any advice on how to deal with, you know, if we're talking about parents who are forcing kids to do this thing or that thing, and really they're the driving factor, there's a pretty good chance that they might be unruly at games, during games, whether it's to officials or the other team or whatever. Any advice for dealing with people like that?
From the, other people that are doing that, or how should parents handle themselves at games? Those are two different questions.
Well, you know what? How should parents handle themselves at games? How about that?
Shut up and cheer.
There
like,
you go.
Seriously, like, yeah. We have an episode coming out tomorrow where we talk about this concept of joysticking, and I talked about it a little bit in the last one, but parents are constantly trying to tell their kids what to do, where to go, so that they can have success in the game. What they don't realize is that causes a lot of anxiety, because when you're 8 years old and you have 50 adults yelling at you to do something, you don't know what to do. You're still trying to figure it out. We have to give our kids a chance to fail and figure it out on their own, because our goal as parents is to raise fully functioning adults who have the tools they need to be successful in life. In order to give them those tools, we have to give them a chance to develop them in safe places as a kid, and we're just using sports. So yes, they might miss a pass. They may throw it to the wrong base. They may fill in the blank here, but they have to do that on their own with their own decision-making without us telling them what to do. Sports is a really safe place to do that. So as a parent, you don't need to coach your kid during a game. You don't need to coach your kid on the car at home. Your number one job as a parent at a game and in the car is to love your kids and to cheer them on.
Jonathan, really good stuff. In fact, we'd love to have you on again because there's so much more we can get to that we just didn't have time for today. So let's do it soon, okay?
I'm all for it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Jonathan Carone, host of the Healthy Sports Parents podcast. You can find it by going to healthysportsparents.com. Hey, there's a Blues note here.
Oh.
Yeah, Doug Armstrong today, the general manager, said that Brandon Saad is being placed on waivers today.
There you go.
How about that? It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. By the way, let's give away those tickets. What do you say, for the Golf Expo?
Yeah, be the sixth caller.
To the contest line, 314-955-1120, 314-955-1120. The St. Louis Golf Expo starts this Friday. It runs all weekend at St. Charles Convention Center. We'll give away tickets for the rest of the week as well. But caller 6, 314-955-1120.